This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're continuing here with, I guess, the end of broadcast news as I knew it when I was a young whippersnapper with Gene, Paul, and Chris.
It's been a slow downward slide for the last 30 years, really. It hasn't been really apparent, I think, for most people. Of course, you know, everybody on the left says that the media is right-wing, and everybody on the right says the media is liberal and leftist. You know, it all depends on who you choose to listen to. And unfortunately, because of that equal time stipulation that used to be really stringently enforced by the FCC, I must say, and I think it's a combination of that and the consolidation. I think during the Reagan years, they allowed corporations to start acquiring and becoming, having sort of monopolies in local markets. And then, of course, under Clinton, then you had the real consolidation of media in this country. And now most major media outlets are controlled by, I think it's six different corporations. Instead of back in the early 80s, late 70s, it was almost 2,000 separate owners of major media outlets. Now it's been consolidated down to six. Paul, you might correct me if I'm wrong there. I'm pretty sure that's fairly correct. Clear Channel is a classic example. And of course, I don't want to get into the politics, but I think when you overlay this kind of societal, it's almost like polarization is going on. And when you put that into the ufological realm, in the paranormal in general, you have these really polarized camps that really will stick to their guns about one particular belief system or slant that they feel intuitively is often the when I ask people, why do you think, you know, why do you believe what you believe? I mean, what is it about your belief in this that's made you so fervently, you know, convinced that this particular opinion you have is correct? And pretty much most people say, well, I intuit it, or it's my intuition tells me that this is so. Not that I researched it and I've done a lot of digging, I've done a lot of reading, I've really dug into this, and I've made an informed opinion, as Paul was mentioning before, but people feel it's this way, or they intuit it's this way. And that's major, like klaxons, aren't, you know, alarm bells and everything else go off in my head when I'm starting to hear this more and more. I don't know. What do you think, Paul? You're finding that too? That people are just, you know, intuiting? Oh, it's just, you know, it sounds right.
Well, I intuit stuff too. For instance, should I have a cheeseburger tonight or a pizza? That I just go with what my literally gut is telling me. But because you can't, you know, they're both bad for you. But the Republic was founded. I'll pretend I'm an American for a second. But our democracy, you know, Canada was founded too. All of the Western democratic systems were founded. And this isn't political. This breaks out into everything we're talking about. So it could be about politics, but it could be about UFOs and ghosts and everything else too. It was founded by men, they were all men, who had this idea that you would have an educated, enlightened citizenry. So you would have people that would be educated in politics, history, philosophy. These things mattered back then. So in your case, the founding fathers, for instance, were by and large all. Today, we would look at them and say, you guys are the creme de la creme. You are the elites, which they were back then, too. But they were educated, and you can disagree or agree with their opinions and place them in their own context of the time. But one thing you can't say is that these were folks that didn't have a breadth of knowledge as it existed at the time. We don't have that anymore. So I had this long conversation with a friend of mine about how I believe that business has no business being taught in universities. Now, I know that's never going to change, and I'm preaching against the winds of what's going to happen. But to me, And I suppose maybe even there, you could teach it there. But at the same time, you have to make sure that those people who are coming out with MBAs and business degrees and whatever, they should be getting a liberal arts education. And I use liberal with a small L, not political, but philosophy, sociology, history, politics, so that civics, so that they can have a broader understanding of our society and how it works and make more informed decisions about the things that really matter. And the things that really matter are not about whether you're going to open a new franchise down the street, but about how you're going to vote and how you want to structure our world. So, you know, within ufology, the same kind of thing is true. That here's an interesting question. For the people on your forums or who are listening now, who consider themselves, even if they wouldn't use this word, to be believers, who accept maybe, say, the extraterrestrial hypothesis as the extraterrestrial fact for the UFO phenomenon. Okay, that's fine. You have an opinion. Fair enough. Ask yourself this question. How many UFO books have you read? Then take that number and split it into two categories. How many pro-ETH books have you read? So, for instance, Stanton Friedman's Crash of Corona would be a pro-ETH book. Actually, any book by Stan. Any book by Kevin, for instance. Then ask your Rich Dolan's books. Then ask yourself, okay, how many books by skeptics have I read? So Carl Sagan, or if you want, really want to go back, Donald Menzel, or any of those guys. How many of those books? Have I read the Condon Report cover to cover? You don't even have to read it cover to cover. Have I read Condon's conclusions? You don't have to agree with them, but just ask yourself, have you looked at both sides of the argument before you came to your conclusion? Not a condensed version of the other side's argument or not what somebody told you their argument was, but the actual argument that they made themselves. Now, if you've done that, if you're listening or if you're reading on the forums and you've actually done that, then we can have an interesting conversation. I might agree or disagree with you, but at least we're coming from an informed sort of perspective. But if you haven't done that, then we can't have that conversation. We were at the 2007, I was at the 2007 X conference, and Nick Pope and I were sitting in a bar afterwards, and both of us were speaking there, and these folks came up to us, and they were nice and friendly, and they wanted more or less to talk to Nick, but I was there, so they were talking to me too. And they wanted to talk about 9/11 and conspiracy theories about how it was all an inside job, and blah, 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 all of this. And at one point, Nick just looked at them, because Nick kept going back to the 9/11 Commission report and saying, well, in the 9/11 Commission report, they said this and this. And these people were totally dismissing the 9/11 Commission report. So Nick asked a very reasonable question. He said, well, have you actually read the 9/11 Commission report? I have. Paul, have you read it? I went, yes. I was agreeing with Nick, by the way. So I said, yeah, I've read it. And these folks looked at us and they said, no, why would we read it? It's full of lies. And, you know, maybe it is. But Nick just looked at them and in as polite a way as Nick Pope could be, said, well, how many of you have read the 9/11 Commission report? And they all looked at us and said, well, none of us. Why would we read it? It's full of lies. And so Nick and I both looked at each other kind of, ugh. And Nick said, well, I've read it. Paul, have you read it? And I said, yes, of course I've read it. And he said to the people that we were sitting across from, well, see, we can't really have a conversation about this, can we? Because we know what we're talking about, and you don't. You don't have to agree with us. You can think the 9/11 Commission report was complete BS, but if you haven't read it, you don't know that. All you're doing is listening to what somebody's told you to say. And they got very offended by this. Nick and I sort of were quite amused by their offense. And they said, well, you're clear. I think they actually said to Nick, you're clearly part of the cabal or the, you know, you're one of them. And they didn't really know who I was. So I guess they assumed I was one of them too. Maybe I was Nick's handler. So anyway, they got up and they stalked off, which was great because they were really, really tiresome to talk to. And then they had ordered drinks, though. So the waitress came by with their drinks, and they had already left. And she said, well, where did they go? And I don't know. And so she left them on the table. Nick and I get a free drink out of it. And sort of Nick just kind of turned to me, and he said, well, that worked out nicely, didn't it? And so, you know, there's always a happy ending to some of these stories, because if you can chase off the crazy people who don't know what they're talking about, then sometimes you get a free drink out of it, which is really cool.
That is, of course, if you want free drinks. I really would have preferred a Diet Coke, but that's just me. You know, so, I want to just mention something here, and we'll get into it in our next segment before we go on. And that's about a segment that we did on After the Paracast with Nick Pope. Now, to really know what I'm talking about, you have to be a member of the Paracast Plus, because this was, as I said, an episode of After the Paracast. And to learn more about the Paracast Plus, just go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. And I want to get to that
in our next segment, because it's fascinating the kind of reaction or non-reaction we had, and that goes back to the object lesson of your little encounter with him, and then the encounter with these 9/11 skeptics, as it were. Gene, Chris, and Paul, you're in
the Paracast.
The award-winning graphic converter, the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. Get 20% off from lemkesoft.de/gene. That's lemkesoft.de/gene. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
America-made food storage I love to eat. Yum!
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So sometime back, Chris had a problem with making the recording session for After the Paracast, and I see Nick Pope's online. And I drop him a note. Hey, Nick, you want to come on after the PowerCast? Sure. But how would you like to talk about something different? Because it turns out that if you look at Nick Pope's site, among his areas of expertise is conspiracy theories. But more often than not, he'll subscribe to the conventional explanation. He's looked at both sides. He decides that the Kennedy assassination was the lone gunman Lee Harvey Oswald. We can get into that later or not. That 9/11 was pretty much as was concluded in the 9/11 report, but he's looked at both sides. And he gives his opinion. And he talks about what he considers to be real conspiracy theories. And you can't believe the negative reaction we got in the forums. Nick Pope is a tool. Because he worked, of course, for the British Ministry of Defense. All right, that's one thing. Nobody ever actually, not a single person, went to the episode and talked pro or con about any of the points. They just said, Nick Pope, we dismiss it. That's it. End of story.
Nick wouldn't mind as long as you get a free beer out of it. That would
well,
be perfect.
There is that, but he was a couple hundred miles away, so I couldn't give him one.
No. Didn't work out that way. Look, you know, the same thing is true of anybody who talks about these things. I remember being at the Aztec UFO Symposium in, I think it was 2004. I went there for three straight years. And I was filming, but I was also speaking. And I walked out one night. A guy named George Green, pretty sure that was his name, was speaking there. And he was totally, it was as if you combine Jeff Rentz, David Icke, Stephen Greer, and Joseph Goebbels all into one. That was this guy. And his theories were out there. He's totally loopy. I was just trying to be a polite Canadian. My brother was with me, too. And we were trying to be polite Canadians. So we were outside talking to him about anything other than what he had talked about. And these two people came up. And they were sort of, you know, in their 40s. And they kind of looked, I hate to say it, but they kind of looked like hippies. Walter Bosley now would go, hippies. And they wanted to talk to him. But they turned and asked me, you know, what do you think of what George Green is saying? Well, when asked for my opinion, I usually give it. So in the politest way possible, I said, well, I don't really agree with it, and I don't think he's, you know, he's right. And I pointed out a few mistakes, just basic history errors that he had made in his presentation when he was trying to cobble this story together, or lies. I don't know which it was. And he got really offended, and he stalked off, which, again, perfect. You know, mission accomplished. But these two people then went into this tirade about me and said, well, are you one of them? And I went, one of who? And they said, well, one of the men in black. And I went, no, not that I know of. I'm not getting, no, I don't think. Jim, am I a man in black? I said to my brother, he said, no, not really. And they said, well, we have this book and here it is. And we want to give you a copy. And it was like a little pamphlet. And it listed everybody they considered sort of part of them, the government agency, and sort of why. I remember thinking, well, okay, that guy might actually be a government spy. Pretty sure that guy isn't. Then I got to Nick Redfern's name. I went, Nick Redfern? And the reason for why Nick Redfern was a – so I said to them, Nick Redfern, he's a friend of mine. Why would he be – and as soon as I said he's a friend of mine, they went, oh, well, you clearly are one of them. We're going to put you on the list, which they eventually did, by the way. They put it online, and eventually I wound up on their list. But the reason was because Nick Redfern always wore black, and I just thought – are you guys kidding me? Nick Redfern wears black because he was a punk rocker from the United Kingdom in the 1970s. It's built into his DNA. You know, Morrissey, I wear black on the outside because black is how I feel on the inside kind of thing. What? And so this was the kind of thing, though, that you would get confronted with. And again, there's no point in talking to these folks unless you're studying them as a sociological group or something like that, which is perfectly valid as an anthropologist or cultural anthropologist. You know, you can't really have a conversation with them. So they didn't stalk off. They gave me the book, which was nice, or the pamphlet, and then they kind of just wandered off, which is what hippies do. I was standing there with my brother in the parking lot outside where they were holding the symposium in Aztec, and we just both went, we have really fallen through the looking glass, haven't we? Like, we're further down the rabbit hole than we've ever been, and we had been making films about UFOs and the UFO subculture for about 3 years then. So we just went back to the hotel and had a beer with some of the speakers who were, you know, more sensible people. I think Stan, Carl Flock was there. And you could have reasonable conversations. So we would go back, and there's Carl and Stan, who disagreed on almost everything. And Carl being ex-CIA and ex-Department of Defense, Stan having worked under security for many, many years. And never once did it cross my mind to sort of say, I think you're both part of them. But then I pulled out my book. the pamphlet that I'd just been given. And I said, hey, Stan, did you know you're one of them? And he went, one of who? I went, them. And Carl, did you know you're one of them? And he said, oh, yeah, no, I've known I'm one of them for quite a while. But, you know, we all had a big chuckle about it. And, it's like Bruce McAbee was there. Hey, Bruce, do you know you're one of them? Everybody who was speaking at that conference, except for George Green, was one of them. You know, that's kind of the weird world that some of these folks live in. You just kind of have to smile and laugh and just take it with a grain of salt as best you can.
Well, one time, a former co-host of the PowerCast, who shall go unmentioned, he was on with someone who was suggesting that someone said that co-host may be a CIA agent. At that point in time, that co-host hung up the phone. But I don't want to get back into things like that. I think it's ridiculous. I know they used to say our old friend Jim Moseley was one of them, because his dad, of course, was a very high muckety-muck in the U.S. Army and very right-wing and anti-Semitic, except that most of Jim Moseley's closest friends were Jewish, as I can personally attest. So not like father, like son. But we can see there the mindset with the reaction to Nick Pope. What did Nick Pope do wrong? I mean, he seems like a nice, kind, gentle guy, and you can take what he says seriously or not, but he's a gentleman, and we don't have enough gentlemen in this field.
Nick's an entertainer, first and foremost, and he's also a researcher, and he's got a base of information. I mean, when you want to talk to Nick about the military, there's a ton of stuff Nick won't talk to you about because he's still bound by the Official Secrets Act. I respect that. Carl was the same way. Carl Flock. There were a ton of things that Carl would only go so far in talking about because he was still bound by the secrecy oaths that he had made in the CIA or the Department of Defense. And Stan, I'm sure, is probably the same way too. Stan is probably still bound by some secrecy oaths that he made when working in industry on top secret projects. Anybody who's worked under secrecy would be, you know what? I worked for the government once. There are things, and had absolutely nothing to do with secrecy. It was about the film industry. I was in the film funding agency. I won't talk to folks, even 16 years later, about how I treated their files back then. I'm not bound by a secrecy oath. I just consider that something where you say, look, there's a privacy to that. I'm just not going to talk about that. So I don't hold those things against them, and nobody else should. What you should do, though, is say, look, Nick Pope has this tremendous reservoir of experience and knowledge and research, and he was there. And I know people have criticized him for saying, look, you weren't really the Fox Mulder of the UK. You were a junior desk officer, and they sloughed the UFO thing off to you. Maybe there's some truth in that. Maybe between what Nick says he did and what those critics of his says he did, there's the middle ground of what he really did. But the truth is, even his critics don't deny that he was involved at the UFO desk, whatever that was. So he comes from a place of knowledge and experience that you should respect. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them. And just because he worked for the government, that he's still doing it. So the reason why people say that stuff about Nick, usually I find, is because they don't agree with what he's saying. Whereas with Stan, you could take that same person, and Stan would be saying something very pro-ET or whatever, and they would agree with him, even though Stan worked under security just like Nick did. In some cases, I think Stan probably worked under higher security than Nick ever did.
More to come with Paul Kimball, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien. You're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
From the pages of the Bible comes a terrifying account of an ancient beast that was half man, half demon. It is returned in the best-selling novel Nephilim by L.A. Marzulli. Indiegogo presents you with an opportunity to get involved in making this supernatural novel into a major motion picture. Join journalist Mac McKenzie as he travels halfway around the world to uncover the truth about aliens and demons. Join our Indiegogo campaign to get Nephilim made into a movie. Go to Indiegogo.com/Nephilim.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So then, depends on your point of view whether you believe these people to be a tool or not. You could say the same thing about one of the original purveyors of the theory of a silence group and military secrecy, that being Major Donald Kehoe. Because he was a major with the U.S. Marine Corps, sure. He had been retired for many years before he got into the UFO bandwagon. He was also a fiction writer. He wrote Pulp Fiction in the 40s. So maybe we should have thought that Major Kehoe was just writing fiction, presented as fact with his UFO theories. Of course, that was not true.
I've been accused of it. I mean, I see this stuff from time to time online because I don't buy into the ETs are coming down and mutilating cattle. That I must be a disinformation agent, and I'm some sort of cutout who's there to, you know, take people away from the direction that it's that they want to believe, the rationale for their belief that aliens are coming down and gathering cattle parts, which I think is the least likely scenario. I know Paul and I have talked about this, where Paul's very, very skeptical about the reality of the majority, I think, of mutilation cases based on the Canadian study, the Rama Report, and some other very, very skeptical sort of whitewashes, in my view, especially the Rama Report, whitewashes of the so-called mystery. But after doing quite a bit of research, kind of going through that process that we were talking about earlier, and amassing quite a bit of, I think, very, very good information, I've come to the conclusion that we are not dealing with something that's off-planet, that we're dealing with something that's much more closer to home. And the very fact that I say that and disagree with the popular prevailing view makes me the bad guy. And so people, from time to time, I see people just lambasting me about how, you're obviously a disinformation agent, put up to it by some agency, or, you're just a disinformation agent. All this, and it's like, wow. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. You can't win. So I don't really buy into it. I don't really care. And I think Paul's like this too, and Greg and Nick, for that matter, Nick Redfern especially. We don't care really what people think. If we have enough time and inclination and motivation to really research and investigate a particular subject and look at both sides of the equation dispassionately and as objectively as possible, when we come to a conclusion, we'll stand by it and we don't care what anybody else thinks. They haven't done the work. So, again, we're kind of going around and around here a little bit, but I think by and large, the bottom line for all this is we need people to be informed. And the only way to get informed is to get off your ass and start digging into this information, select your sources wisely, and become informed and do the work. I've got a huge library of books that are both pro and skeptical on all sorts of subjects that range from religious miracles, conspiracy, all sorts of paranormal subjects, politics, sociology, history. I mean, I've got a huge library, and they're not there for show. Most of the books I've read more than once. I think it's really important for people to do the work. Everybody has, opinions are like rear ends. Everybody's got one. But, I think an informed opinion is worth a lot more.
Well, sure. You mentioned cattle or animal mutilations. You and I disagree on what that means or what the answer is. But I respect your opinion, even if I disagree with it, in the same way I respect Stan Friedman's opinion when I disagree with it, because at least you guys have done your own research. And so maybe you draw a different conclusion than I do. That's fine, because you can't expect everybody to agree with you. So people who do that kind of thing are going to sometimes draw different conclusions. That's fine. The way I always did the filmmaking, when we were doing Fields of Fear, which was the film we did about Canadian cattle mutilations, and Fern Belzil, who was an investigator out in Alberta, and a very nice man. And I built into that a trip to Puerto Rico, where we were going to go down, and we did go down, to look in the Chupacabra mystery. And we took Nick Redfern with us. He was our sort of Chupacabra expert. And we got another guy, Orlando Pla, from Puerto Rico, who was the local expert. A civil engineer, I think, but he had an interest in the Chupacabra phenomenon. And so I said, well, look, if I'm going to go down and look at this, I have to look at all of it. So great, we'll interview Orlando, who was sort of skeptical. We'll interview, and I can't remember all their names now, but one of them in a city called Mayaguez was the lead police officer, I think he was a police lieutenant, who had investigated cattle mutilations for the Puerto Rican government. And he was very skeptical. He said, wild dogs and everything. Fine. So we interviewed him. We went and interviewed a biologist at one of the local universities who had looked into it, very skeptical as well. We interviewed him. And then we went out into the field and we interviewed eyewitnesses. And in some places in very isolated rural locations. In fact, my brother was driving the van that we were all in, and he almost backed it up off a cliff because he didn't realize the cliff was there. It was jungle. And there was a cliff, and the guys in the back of the van went, whoa, 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 whoa. And they could see the cliff because they were looking down. So that's one of those memories I sort of still cling to whenever my brother says I don't get him enough for Christmas or something. I go, But that idea that you have to interview, and so I wanted to talk to representatives, if you will, from all sides. And then I drew my own conclusions about chupacabras, which tend to favor the skeptical answers, but that's me. But I put all that information in the film, which was rejected by the network because they said you just need to focus on Fern Belzil. Fine. So I later cut online only. It's on the internet somewhere. The Island of Blood, I called it. And that contained a lot of the Puerto Rican stuff. But the idea was, look, my opinion doesn't really matter, does it? I sort of have a perspective as a filmmaker, but I've given everybody more or less equal time. So out of that, now, if we all watch the same film, we can all come to different conclusions. So I know a lot of the people watching for instance, Best Evidence, or any of the films I made, will come out with different conclusions that I have. I would also say that a one-hour-long film is not the end. It is merely designed to kind of inspire you to go out and do more research and to look into this if it interests you even more, because you can't cover everything in an hour. That's the way you have to look at it. As you say, Chris, you have to look at both sides. So you can read the Rommel Report, and I can read the Rommel Report, and we can both find different things in it or come to different conclusions. But it's like the 9/11 Commission Report. At least we both read it. So we're talking from the same starting point. If you hadn't read it, or if I hadn't read it, and we were saying something that the other one disagreed with, well, then that's not really a conversation.
No, it's not. And when I go into my particular investigative process, I've armed myself with 13 suggested rules of investigation that I kind of documented discovering as I became a field investigator. And I did that on purpose because I wanted my readers and anyone who followed my work to hold me to those 13 suggested rules of investigation. And I believe the sixth one was kind of the hardest one, I think. It should have been earlier, but the fact that it was number six, I think it's still the most important rule, and that is always assume a mundane explanation and then allow the facts to prove that wrong.
I'd like to do our next segment because we're kind of acting like we're in the middle of the story. And I'd like to get back to the beginning and maybe next segment have you, Paul, and you, Chris, better define the differences in your point of view. Not that they exist or using some similar sources, but the fact that you have these differences, and let's kind of give our listeners more of a focus on that. And we'll do that when we get back in maybe another couple of minutes or so. In the meantime, let me tell you about The Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. That's P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. You subscribe for $4.99 a month or by the year or by 5 years or a lifetime. And you get a lot of special features such as the commercial-free version of this show, the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next. We also have videos, some from Paul Kimball's Other Side of Truth, including that Stephen Greer video he mentioned, which is a 20-minute interview that will go up probably by the time you hear this show. With Gene and Paul and Chris, you're in
The Other Side of Truth. No, The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, guys, Paul, Chris, Gene, into cattle mutilations, and we see that Chris O'Brien and Paul Kimball are coming from different sides of the argument. Paul, would you define your differences with Chris, and we'll let Chris follow up.
I could. I have to say, the animal mutilation thing is not something that is particularly, I don't want this to sound as pejorative as it's probably going to sound, interesting to me. I don't mean that to sound in a bad, it's just not a focus. I did it like, what, 8-9 years ago when I did Fields of Fear, and it sort of stopped there for me. The conclusion I drew then has not been changed since, which is, I believe, that the vast majority, the overwhelming majority, predators, scavengers, and, you know, I can reference, there's a Canadian Veterinary Journal report that I had never seen referenced before, but which I went out and found that was done on fairly extensive research by veterinarians from the University of Alberta and I think the University of Wyoming. So it was a cross-border thing. And they came to the same conclusion. You can agree or disagree with the Rahman report, but I talked to a number of veterinarians and biologists, and they all said the same thing. So I accept what they told me because I'm not one of them. I'm not an expert. But you know what? I've never gone out in the field and done it myself. So I have Fernhead, for instance, the subject of the film that we were doing. So I didn't just dismiss it casually, and I suppose I leave a small amount of room. The one area I suppose maybe where Chris and I could agree on is that it's not space aliens from Zeta Reticuli. I think that's Chris's view, and it's certainly my view. And I suppose I leave a little room open over in the corner of my skepticism for the possibility that some very small number of cases might be outside the norms of scavenging and predation that might have something to do with testing the cattle population for diseases that might have an impact on the food chain and eventually might have an impact on humans because we consume them, and that might be something that's being run by the government. And of course, the government would never want to admit that there might be a bigger problem than we already know that there has been. The Canadians in particular would be well aware of the impact that it had on our cattle industry when just a few cases were found in Alberta some years ago, and it basically shut down the Canadian cattle industry for not an insignificant period of time. I'm not even sure it's completely recovered yet. So, you know, I leave a corner in my skepticism for the possibility that that might be happening. That's kind of where I approach it from. The vast majority, I think, are scavengers and predators. But I would leave a little corner open over there that that might be possible. And I can actually understand why the government would do that if that's the case.
Chris? I agree. I think the media, once it gets a hold of a wave of reports, generally the beginning cases of AFLAP tend to be the legitimate ones. Then you have cases that appear to be almost red herring cases to kind of keep law enforcement, brand inspectors, livestock board investigators running around chasing their tails. These cases seem to be red herring cases. Depending on how the media reacts to these cases, whether it goes from just local news stories to regional to statewide or province-wide, media outlets, that's when the scavenger, the mundane cases tend to be reported, and they, every dead cow that people see becomes the latest mutilation. You know, the kind of the fear is ratcheted up, and people with uninformed, untrained eyes are seeing something that they, you know, it's like windshield pitting, in Washington State, the James L. Stewart, study on mass collective delusion. There is a lot of that going on. And I do agree with Paul that, once people start looking, they hear that there's cattle mutilations supposedly going on, then they're more apt to notice a down cow. They don't know what they're looking at when they see a cow that's been scavenged by birds, insects. And then you have the whole sort of echo chamber that then starts ratcheting up the, you know, the rhetoric about it and, you know, the news stories and everything. I absolutely agree. However, there is a true mystery at the heart of this, and I do agree with Paul that the most likely source, I do think there's something paranormal, really, that's extremely rare, but it does occur. I think there is something paranormal at the heart of it that may somehow be somehow related to a response from some sort of governmental group that's monitoring these things. I think it's something that's been occurring since ancient times. I think there's enough evidence to suggest prior to any sort of monitoring for mad cow disease or outbreaks of hoof and mouth disease and in these types of things. I think back in the 1600s when hundreds of sheep were being found strangely mutilated and their inner parts taken during the reign of James I, for instance, or the wave of cases in Ireland that were blamed on wolves that hadn't really existed there for over 100 years. There's enough historical evidence to suggest that there may be something truly high strange and potentially paranormal at the heart of this. I think in the modern era, you know, post 67, when prion disease escaped from biophysical laboratories out into the environment, oops, then I do think that we do have a real concern by the part of the largest income-producing sector of agriculture and one of the most powerful lobbies in this country that you'll never hear about. A very powerful lobby up in Canada, the beef industry, that you do have, you know, a real fear of prion disease breaking out in the food chain. And since the only way to detect it is through a postmortem test, obviously this is very, very troublesome. You can't just test cows. And people say, well, why don't they get their own damn cows and get, you know, put them out in their own pastures? And they do. But if you're testing for something that's occurring in the environment, you have to sample a, you know, a large amount of rangeland. And you can't have your own cattle and stuff in your own rangeland. I think there's other things going on here too, as well, Paul. And, you know, you might just consider this. There's some pretty interesting evidence to suggest that the cattle mutilation meme, if you will, from time to time has been utilized by large ranching concerns to terrorize smaller ranchers and drive them out of business, force them to sell their land. 75 to 80% of cattle operations that were thriving in the mid-70s when the average North American was eating over 100 pounds of beef a year. That was the height of beef consumption and the height of the numbers of cattle in North America. At the height of the cattle mutilation wave, you'll have the height of beef consumption and the numbers of cattle in North America. And at that was the point when you started to see the beginning of real consolidation of cattle raising and beef concerns. And I do have some very good evidence that at least one rancher was using the mutilation operation, if you will, to attempt to drive out ranchers and terrorize them. The ranching community is some of the most reactionary and right-wing and militia-prone communities in at least in this country. And I think that using the mutilation scenario as a potential form of intimidation, of you know, it's funny how prion disease was spread in some of the most militia and right wing counties, let's say in the Midwest, for instance. Areas of high incidence tend to be where there's pretty radical right wing militia groups, and to allow the prion disease to get out in the deer and elk might be a way to cull the population of reactionaries. It's very complicated, and unless you do the work, unless you really get out there, and one of my best skeptic was the head of the New York State Veterinary College, Dr. John King. And I'll tell you, this guy, he said, "I want you to prove me wrong." And I sent him sample after sample, and he would tell me, "Well, it's probably this or it's probably that. Oh, it's definitely this, it's definitely that." But there were samples. He said this was cut with a sharp implement. So all this information is in my book. That's why it's 500,000 words and 600 pages. It's a very, very complicated subject. And like getting back to the topic of our conversation, unless you get out there, do the work, you know, I'm up somewhere around 200 cases that I personally investigated and researched thousands of others. Collated together 12 different databases from some of the, I think, the better investigators. I didn't include Fern's work, although I do know, I haven't talked to him in years. It's a lot more complicated than one would expect.
We got more to come on a lot of things in the world of paranormal with Paul Kimball, Gene Steinberg, and Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.